me back here in 1 Peter 2. It says there in verse 10, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which have not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Where is the time we weren't the people of God, and now we're the people of God? You know that when you follow the scriptures, they just, you think the apostle or whoever's the writer is changing subjects, but he's just starting, and as he goes, he begins to explain things and enlarge on things. And since we're on Christ, living stones in the living temple of Christ, the spiritual house built upon us on the stone, the tried stone, the Lord Jesus Christ. And He's our sure foundation, elect of God, chosen of God, precious to God. And some stumbled at our Lord Jesus Christ. They were offended with Him. And they were appointed. Did they get what it says there in the last part of verse 8? They were appointed to this condemnation. They were appointed to it. And so then he goes on and says, since you're in Christ, chosen in Christ, and He's God's tried stone, cornerstone, and you're living stone, you're not only that, but you're a chosen generation in Him. But I want you to show you some things, first of all, about how the people were appointed. It says there, a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense in verse 8. And there he is. That's just amazing how many people stumble at Christ. And Christ is an offensive rock to them. And they stumble at the Word. And they were disobedient. And God appointed them to this position. God appointed them to this place. Look over with me in Jude, verse 4, just a moment. This is a thing that... And that's why if I'm preaching the gospel, if I'm not, I want to preach it. If I don't know it, I want to know it. I don't want to be one of these fellas that just goes through life and come to find out at the end, you know, I was disobedient, stumbling at Christ. I don't want to do that. But look what he said here in verse 4 of Jude. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before, listen to this, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, this judgment, ungodly men. They were ordained to do this, ordained to turn the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. People were ordained to this. And look over in Romans 9 with me just a minute. Do you think about that? That there are people out here, and I could probably name you some right off the top of my head. But I'm telling you, there's men that's ordained of God to take the Word of God and you misuse it and stumble at it and make a mess out of it and deceive people with it. And use people as merchandise. But look what he said here in Romans 9 and verse 30. What shall we say then, that the Gentiles, that's us, which we're, I'm going to go back over and talk about, we were not a people, which they followed not after righteousness. They was idlers. We worshipped idols. They didn't follow after righteousness. Wasn't looking for righteousness. And they've attained a righteousness. How did they get it? The righteousness which is of faith. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, they wanted to be righteous by law. They wanted to have a righteousness according to the law. Hath not attained to the law of righteousness, the principle of righteousness. Why didn't they? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at that stumbling stone. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. They stumbled in Christ's deity, stumbled in Christ's power, stumbled at Christ's claims, stumbled at His birth, stumbled at His message, stumbled in everything our Lord Jesus Christ is and was and accomplished, they stumbled at it. And I certainly don't want to stumble at Christ. Oh, no, 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 I don't want to do that. But now look what he says over here. Since they were appointed to this, they stumbled over Christ, offended with Christ, disobedient at the word. But now listen, we're not like that. But you, God's elect. Peter done called us God's elect in verse 2. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people. And here's the reason that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Well, they were appointed to stumble and stumble at, but he says, you're a chosen generation. Chosen and a generation of people, all of God's people, by the sovereign will and good pleasure of our Father. We were chosen generation, set apart. He didn't choose us because He foresaw something in us that was commendable to Him or good to Him or favorable to Him. He didn't see faith in us. He didn't see holiness in us. He didn't see works we had accomplished. He didn't see anything in us. He just said, you are a chosen generation. And He chose us by grace, a love grace. Chose us by grace, to grace and glory, and hereafter. That's why He says, blessed is the man whom Thou choosest. I love this. And then causest to approach unto Thee, that he may dwell in Thy courts. So you're a chosen generation, chosen by God, set apart by God. And there's a generation that God's never left Himself without a witness. And then it says, not only are you a chosen generation, you're a royal priesthood. Now wait a minute. A royal priesthood? Look over in Revelation 5 with me just a minute. A chosen generation, a royal priesthood. You know what a royal... In the scriptures, the priest, only the high priest wore the high priestly robes. And they weren't called royal priests. They were just the high priest, and then there was the priest. And the high priest, you know, they didn't continue by reason of death and reason of infirmity. But here he calls us a royal priesthood. Look what he says here in Revelation 5:9. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seals there, for Thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Now, royal priesthood... Now kings, they have to wear royal apparel. If we're a royal priesthood, we got to have royal apparel. Where are we going to get royal apparel? Our Lord Jesus Christ clothed us with His blessed righteousness. And that's the most blessed robe you can wear in this world and in the world to come. It's like that prodigal son when he came home. He says, Father, I sinned against heaven and against you. I'm not worthy to be called your son. I'll just be your servant, be a hired servant. He said, no, 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 no. And he brought his son in. And the first thing he said after he made that meal, he has said, go and kill that fatted calf. And the next thing he says, bring the best robe and put it on him. And we, as God's people, God puts us a robe of righteousness on us. And that makes us, since He's a king, He said He made us kings. And there's a royal priesthood. And you know what a priest does? He offers sacrifices. And the scriptures, I just showed it to you here in 1 Peter where it says there in verse 5, you also, in verse chapter 2 and verse 5, you also as living stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. We offer sacrifices. We offer sacrifices of praise and thanksgiving. and bless His holy name. And that's all, everything we do, if any offering that we make to God, it has to be a spiritual sacrifice. And only priests are allowed to come into His presence, and priests can draw nigh to God, and we, as royal priests, we can come right into the presence of God like the high priest did, except we come, all of us. Don't have to wait for a priest to bring us. We can come on our own. Hebrews chapter 10 tells us that we come under the throne of God by a new and living way through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then as kings, we're going to reign with the Lord Jesus Christ forever. We're going to reign with Him forever as kings. And oh, beloved, I tell you what, we draw nigh to God as priests. We offer sacrifices. And as a royal priesthood and as kings, we're going to reign with Christ. For as long as Christ reigned, we're going to reign. And I tell you what, beloved, it's going to be something to live on it. And He says, reign on the earth. What earth? New heaven, a new earth. Wherein dwelleth righteousness. Then look what else He said. Not only are you a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, back here in verse 9, but a holy nation. A holy nation. You know, God separated Israel from all other nations on the face of this earth. And He destroyed seven nations to give them places to live. He put them in houses. He gave them vineyards. He gave them olive trees. Everything that they needed to live in this world, He gave it to them by destroying nations. Said, you live in that fellow's house, and this is your house, that'll be your house over there. And they all had places to live. And He provided for them, drove out wicked people to bring in His people. And God separated Israel from all other nations. And here we are called the people of God. And we are called the true Israel. A special and a holy nation. That's what God calls us, His people. A holy nation. Now, you know, that's another thing that we're going to be in that new heaven and new earth. We're going to be, they're going to have to be a nation. They're going to have a nation. And it's going to be God's nation, Christ's nation, a holy nation. And oh, look what it says over here in Psalm 33. Look what it says here in Psalm 33 about this. The sheriff tells us something about Psalm 33. We're a true Israel. That's why Paul, you know, that's what he called. He says we're the true circumcision. True Israel. Psalm 33 and verse 12. Look what he says here. Oh, look what he says now. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Well, we're a holy nation. How come we're holy? Who made us holy? God said we're holy. Do you feel holy? Do you act holy? But God said we're holy. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom He hath chosen for His own inheritance. So, chosen generation, royal priesthood, a holy nation, separated by God, called a nation. And then look what else He says about us down here in this chapter. He said, not only your chosen royal priesthood, a holy nation, but a peculiar people. A peculiar people. Now that don't mean that you're peculiar in the sense that you act strange. But what it means is really a special people. A people bought and paid for, a special people. And these people, this people of God that He's talking about here, they are a special people. God has given them a love that He don't give nobody else, a special love just for them. He gives them favor and grace that He don't give nobody else. He gives them great and special blessings in Christ that He gives nobody else. He takes special care of them like He takes care of nobody else. And I can attest to that, and you can attest to that, that God Himself takes care of us where He don't take care of nobody else. And I'll show you, look in Deuteronomy 6 with me just a moment. Deuteronomy 7. Let's look at this together. A peculiar people. A peculiar people. A special people. People bought and paid for by the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, God called us in in the Psalms, I can't remember where it's at, he says, but these are my peculiar people. I set them apart, special people for mine. They're precious people in my sight. And oh, God chooses us and calls us a nation and sets us apart. We're the true Israel. And look what he said here in Deuteronomy 7, verse 6. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee, listen to this, to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you nor choose you because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you and because he would keep the oath which he has sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondage from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. He set us free from everything that was against us, and he calls us his special people. Didn't choose us because there was anything about us, but because he would. Now back over in our text, let's look at this just a minute. And all this was done. He chose us, called us to the priesthood, royal priesthood, dressed us in royal garb, made us a holy nation, a peculiar people. And this is the reason that we as this people, this chosen people, this nation, this pure priesthood, this peculiar, that you should show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Now everything God done for us and everything he has done for us, the reason he does it is to the praise of the glory of his blessed grace. And so he says this, that we should show forth. How do we show it forth? By our words, by our deeds, by our character, by our conduct. And one of these days, the universe and everybody's going to see that God saved us by his grace. And everybody's going to praise God for his grace. And everybody's going to acknowledge that God gave us grace. And that we're trophies of his grace. In the ages to come, he's going to show the riches and kindness of his grace given to us in Christ. And he says that we should show forth the praises of him who called us out of darkness. We wasn't always a royal priesthood, wasn't always a holy nation, wasn't always a chosen people. And oh, listen, to show forth the praises of him, to praise him, to bless him, to honor him. And our lives, by our very lives, we should live to his praise and to his glory. And that's what, isn't it, called out of darkness into his light? That's exactly what Paul told the Colossians, giving thanks unto the Father, who hath called us out of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Huh? And also, you see, I'll tell you this, how can we praise him? We not only dwelt in darkness, but we were darkness. And he called us out of that darkness. And made us special people. Made us people loved of him. And oh, to praise him, show forth his praises, talk of his praises, bless him for his praises. Talk about his blessed person and all that makes him God. And then look what else he says. He calls you out of the darkness and and he says, now you were all of this is what you are now, but you wasn't this in the past. In the past, you weren't even a people. You weren't a nation. You weren't nobody. You just weren't even a people. You wasn't gathered in together. You're just nobody. You just weren't even a people. You were just out here as individuals, people here, people there, living in sin. You didn't have any of these things going for you. But he says, which in time past were not a people. Now I know, and we have always from eternity past been the people of God. We were given to Christ in the covenant of grace, represented by our Lord Jesus Christ in time. We were his in this covenant of grace, but before our Lord Jesus was revealed to our heart and we was called out of this darkness, before the Lord Jesus made real to our hearts and our souls, It says here, you were not a people. We were not a people. We were it. And now I tell you, beloved, before we were born of the Spirit of God, we were not His willing people, not His servants, nor His sons. We were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. We were strangers from the covenants of... And we knew nothing of His mercy. And now it says we've obtained mercy. And all here we were in a people. And God says, I'm going to make you my people. We didn't have mercy. And now He said, I'm going to give them mercy. He started gathering out of every tribe. And then He says, I'm going to make you this holy nation, this chosen generation, this royal priesthood. And now was a time we weren't even worthy. And I tell you, beloved, Isaiah talked about this. And that's why the Jews, that's another thing they stumbled at Christ. They said, there's no way in the world that the Gentiles and the Jews can be saved the same way. There's no way that Jews and Gentiles can dwell together. There's no way that God can save a Gentile dog. There's no way that Christ could come into this world and He's only going to go save Israel. He's only going to save that seed. But yet, beloved, all through the Old Testament, it talked about the Gentiles was going to be saved by the grace of God. That God was going to bring them in. God was going to save them. And when Paul became the apostle to the Gentiles, they hated him for it. They persecuted him for it. He spent years in prison. He was beaten. Everything that you could imagine happened to him. You know, for one reason. Because he went as a Jew among the Gentiles. Ain't that right, Gary? They said, there's no way we're going to... Peter says, it's not lawful for us who are Jews to be among Gentiles. But he says, now I see God's not a respecter of persons. And I, you know, Jeanette Morrell, she's from Malta. And Malta's where Paul got shipwrecked. And where that serpent got a hold of him, bit him, and he shook him off in the fire. And they thought, man, this man's going to die. And she says, now down in Malta, instead of worshiping Christ, it's St. Paul. They got a place where he's shipwrecked, and they got it all marked off, and everybody go down there, and they said, boy, St. Paul was here. St. Paul's been here. And they worship, she said, they worship St. Paul, not Christ. But now here she is from Malta. And she's saved by the grace of God. Generations, millennia after Paul was on that. Millennia. And oh, beloved, let me tell you, so let me go on here now. And then he goes, dearly beloved. Why does he say this? He wants to show them what great affection he had for them. He expresses his love to these dear saints here, these people he's writing to. To show them that what he's about to teach them is out of a heart full of love and affection for them, and it's for their good. And that's what he starts saying here. He says, now since you're these people of God, since you're these people that show forth the praises, and there were a time you weren't, time you didn't know anything about mercy, but now you're God's people, now you've got mercy. Now you're, this is the way God made you. So dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims. Now that's what you are. Let me tell you something. David said, I'm a stranger with thee. God's a stranger in his own world. Wouldn't you agree with that? Wouldn't you say that God's a stranger in this world? He created this world and he's a stranger in this world. Would you not say Christ, who came in this world to redeem sinners out of this world, is a stranger in this world? Well, that's what he's saying here, that we're strangers. We're strangers in this world, and the world's strange to us, and we're strange to the world. And then he says, pilgrims. Pilgrims traveling to a better country. Coming to a better country. Mary and I was up in the Northeast a few years ago, and we went to Plymouth Rock. That's where the pilgrims landed. They called them pilgrims. They came over here, and they landed at Plymouth Rock. And there's that rock. And you think it's going to be a great big rock. It's not much of a rock. It don't amount to much. But that's where they landed. And the pilgrims started there. And they started spreading across. And they left that place to come to a better country. And that's what we are. We're pilgrims looking for a better country. And we'll get to that better country. We'll get there too. And then he says this, abstain from fleshly lust which war against the soul. And that's just, this is a fact. It's a fact. As long as we're in this body, as long as we're in this flesh, we're subject to the desires of the flesh and subject to the desires of this body. And I tell you, this wretched flesh, Paul said, I know that in me that is in my flesh dwells no good thing. And he says, there's a war going on in us. He said, abstain from these fleshly lusts which war against your soul. And we have this body. We have this body of sin. We have this flesh to contend with. We have everything. And this body, and the things that it does. But he said, abstain from it. Suppress it. Refuse to give in to these fleshly lusts which war against the soul. And what it says, they war against the soul, they're enemies. These fleshly lusts and these bodily lusts, they're enemies to our spiritual peace, to our spiritual comfort, to our assurance. Now these fleshly lusts and war against our soul, they can't destroy our soul. They can't do that. But they can sure cause a lot of discomfort. They can cause a lot of unrest. And I tell you, most people, when we talk about fleshly lust, they start thinking about something awful. But I tell you what, pride's an awful thing. Anger's an awful thing. To get angry and say things and be cruel and mean to people. Jealousy is a horrible thing. Intemperance is an awful thing, to be intemperate in all things. But none of these, but he said, abstain from them. Suppress them. Flee from them. And then he says, since they war against your soul, they'll cause you to lose your peace, your comfort, your assurance, and unrest. And Arthur Pink said this one time, and this is true, I found from all experience. The Bible will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from the Bible. This book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from the book. Now everybody here knows what I'm saying. Now that's right. You do something, you say, well, ain't no sense picking it up. You know I'm ashamed to pick. And that's what it'll do. That's what it'll do. And then look what he says. And so this, what are we going to do then? Having your conversation, having your manner of life, that's what word conversation means, honest among the Gentiles. You live an honest life. A life that honors God, honest among the Gentiles, honest among them who are unconverted in that. And they speak against you. They got things to say against you. They speak against you as evildoers. And people do in this world. They speak against God's people as evildoers. Conduct yourselves before your family. Conduct yourselves for people on the job. Conduct yourselves among your neighbor, among your friends. Live in an honest, righteous, loving manner. So if they do speak against you as evildoers. And I tell you what, I couldn't tell you how many times this congregation and us have been spoken evil against just for what we believe. Just for what we preach. But they'll see that he says, whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they'll say things against you. He says, but you live in such a manner of life that what they would use against you, you can stop their mouths and stop their evil doing by your good works. By your good works, which they'll behold. They'll behold. They'll watch you. You know, there's always people watching us. My children watch me. My grandchildren watch me. My neighbor watches me. My neighbor up the road watches me. I go up to the fire hall. If they have anything up there, the people up there watch me. People that come here that ain't been here, they watch you. Everybody's observing everybody. And that's what he says, and they, by your good works they shall behold. They can see. that you know God, trust God, believe God, rest in God, have peace in God? The mailman pulled up this day. Leon pulled up today. And he's asking how Mary was. And I said, well, she's a little weak today. He says, you know, God's grace is sufficient. God's got plenty of grace. I said, I know it. He's given us plenty of it. And we have peace. Peace over this. Whatever's going on in our life. And that's what I'm telling. People's got to see. And they will see. If we say we believe in the grace of God and then we stand back and complain over every little thing that happens to us, they go see that. And they say, well, I thought that fellow said he is a Christian. I thought he believed in the sovereignty of God. I thought he believed in God's providence. I thought he believed God would provide his needs. And here he out here coveting and scratching and scrolling and trying his best to get something off of somebody. Oh, listen, that's what he said. They may speak against you. And they'll watch how you react to trials. But oh, glorify God. And they'll say, well, there's something to them in what they believe. And sometimes God visits us in prosperity. Sometimes He visits us in disappointments. Sometimes He visits us with joy. Sometimes in sorrows. And how we conduct ourselves under different tests will determine how those who observe us, what they think about us, they either will glorify God by what we how we act, or else they'll laugh at our profession. One or the other. And then look what he goes on to say this now. He said, I want you to do this. Now he said, you know, that was 11 and 12 was a sentence. Now he's going to start up. He's going to say, now continue. He's going to continue in this manner of life. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. You notice that? For the Lord's sake. You know, the Christians to obey the laws of the land. And that's what he means here. Submit yourself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. Whether it's to the king as supreme or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. You know, the believers to obey the laws of the land. We ought to live in our communities in the state of Tennessee, that's where we live, live in our nation and be good citizens. Good citizens. Good citizens of our country. Put our hand over our heart when the flag's raised. Do what we can when we know we obey the laws of the land and try our best to live as people who honor God. And God puts these people in position so that they can punish the people that are evildoers. And they ain't not, you know, I'm not afraid that the law's going to knock on my door and come after me tomorrow. I'm not a bit afraid of that. But I do hope they go and get the fella that's selling drugs. I do hope they go get the man that's stealing. I do hope they go get the man that breaks in somebody's house. And I get aggravated at them if they don't. And that's what he says. And all, listen, God ordained government for our good and our peace. And then look what he says now. Oh, listen, for the punishment of evil, for the praise of them that do well. Oh, listen. And then he says, for so is the will of God. This is the will of God that you do these things that he's talking about. That with well doing, by doing well, living to God's glory, showing forth his praises of his marvelous light, that we may, that with well doing, we'll put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. We'll disarm them by doing well of anything they can use against us. They're ignorant men and they're foolish men, and they want to use anything they can against us. And then look what he says in verse 16. He says, for so is the will of God that with well doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, you're free men, free women, free from the law, free from its curse, free to access to God by the Spirit of God, but we're not free to sin. We're not free to live in contempt of the laws that are binding on all men. He says, this is the will of God. As free men, not using your liberty, your freedom that we have in Christ. That freedom, as who says, you know, that we're living to God and we don't have to obey the laws of men. Not using our liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. You know, you see, as long as God's law and man's laws are in accord with God's laws, we're going to obey them. We're going to obey them. Whenever they start passing laws, it's against God's laws. And if we have to, that's what he's saying. We're not going to use this liberty as a cloak of maliciousness to turn against God, you know, to turn against the law and be contemptuous of the law. We're free men, but we're not like that. We're servants of God. And if they ever start passing laws that we can't obey, that we can't honor God with, that's when we'll use our liberty, not as maliciousness, but as free men. And that's what he's talking about there. When they pass a law that tells us that we can't preach certain things without it being hate speech, or if they tell us that we can't use certain language, or this, that, and the other, and they tell us we can't preach here, or we can't preach there, then that's when we're going to have to use our liberty. And that's what he's talking about. But not as a contemptuous way to say, I don't have to do anything that anybody tells me. I just, you know, we're not malicious people. We're not God's people, not malicious people. When they whip, you know, I'll tell you, I will stop. When they whip Paul with 39 stripes for preaching, when they come and God had put him in jail for preaching, when they took Peter, James, and John before the Sanhedrin for preaching, and then whipped them, did any of them act malicious? Did any of them act mean? No. So we're not going to either. Even things that we don't like, we're not going to get mean about if we can help it. All right.